Ezekiel 33, verse 10, Son of man, tell the house of Israel, Thus you speak, saying, Our transgressions and our sins are on us, and we pine away in them. How then can we live? Well, we pine away in them. This is a quote from Leviticus 26, 39, which says that if Israel broke the covenant, then they would pine away in the judgment for their iniquity. So you could say that they're saying to Ezekiel, okay, so we've sinned, we're in captivity. Remember, Ezekiel was in captivity with the first wave of exiles in Babylon. And they're saying, okay, we broke the covenant, so that's it. All's over and done now. We broke the covenant. How then can we live? End of. Well, it was the end of the old covenant. Zechariah broke the rod that represented the covenant and said, so the covenant is broken. Sure, they had broken it rather than God, but it was broken. So how should we live? Well, the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, which is coming up in Ezekiel quite soon, is the answer. How then can we live? It's the same question that's put to Ezekiel. How can these bones live? They are dead. They're useless. They're finished. Israel is over. But no. God said that he would give his spirit to revive the apparently hopeless. And the gift of that spirit is associated with a new covenant. Because the new covenant is the covenant of the spirit, whereby God will put his spirit in the hearts of people to revive them and make them, as it were, obedient. So this then was the answer, that they were going to be revived, even though they were dead. So how can we live? Sure, we're pining away in our iniquities, we are suffering the curses of breaking the covenant. Yes, but there's a new deal, there's a new covenant. Now, tragically, Judah didn't really accept that, but we have accepted it. And so the offer of the Spirit to those of us in the new covenant who celebrate this by taking the cup of the New Testament or the new covenant when we break bread, we who are in the new covenant, we have this offer of the Spirit to us too, that God will revive out of our apparently hopeless and dead situation. He will revive us and make us live. And God encourages them to accept this. In verse 11, they were saying, well, how can we live if we've broken the old covenant? God says, verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no will, literally, to see the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, house of Israel? They've been asking, well, how can we live? And he's saying, look, I don't want you to die. I want you to live because I have a far stronger passion for your salvation than for your death and condemnation. Now, that is a profound truth, that God has a passion, a will, that the wicked should turn from his way and live. This is far stronger than any pleasure or will that he may supposedly have for the death of the wicked. That happens because the wicked bring it upon themselves, not because God is pleasured by it, nor because it is his will. And this, of course, is all quoted in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, where we're told that God is not willing, and as I say, the Hebrew idea of pleasure or pleasing is of will. God is not willing, he's not pleased, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is not facing off against man over an open Bible and saying, well, go figure it out, and I'll see you at the day of judgment, and if you ticked enough boxes, scored enough points, then sure, I'll let you into my kingdom. And the Bible is left as a riddle to be solved. If you solve it, then I'm there to meet you. No, God is far more proactive than that, exactly because it is not his will. He doesn't like, it's not pleasing to him, it's not his will that people should die unsaved, that they should be wicked. It is his will that they should repent. And this will of God for human repentance is connected with the gift of the Spirit. Because the new covenant, the gift of the Spirit, the life given to the dead, the new heart, this is all the language that Ezekiel uses about this. This is God almost giving repentance, not just forgiveness, but repentance to his people. For example, he says, you must return. And the Hebrew word for return and repent are the same. But many times God says that I will cause you to return. I will make you repent. In the New Testament, we read that God gave to the Gentiles repentance, not just forgiveness, but repentance unto life. Maybe alluding to these words. And so that is the gift that God is willing to give us. He is absolutely taking the initiative. We love because he first loved us. It is not so much, as Paul says, that we know him, but rather that we are known of him. He took the first move. And I believe it is very wrong to think that God is somehow sort of passive, and if we make moves towards God, God sort of pays attention and starts moving towards us. No, the initiative is with him. Grace, as Paul explains in Romans, is all about this predestined first move of God toward us. And yet, despite the wonder of these things, in verse 32, we read that Ezekiel was to them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice. They hear what you say, but they will not do it. Yeah, it was all a nice idea. Love, grace, yeah, God taking the initiative, all a nice idea. But, you know, okay, yeah, so I heard the love song and now I'm back to reality. Let's get on with life. God forbid that it should be like that with any of us, that we hear this wonderful message of grace, of God going first in his grace, of God desperately wanting to help us to repentance, of God taking all the initiative of being willing to revive life out of hopeless death, cutting a new covenant, offering a new deal when they'd broken the old deal, and yet it was to them just as a pretty song. Guy, yeah, good singer. But, okay, so we heard the voice, now we heard the song, now we're going back to reality, to real life. And they forgot all about it. God forbid that this wonderful offer of God's grace should be like that to us. It's got to grip us and take hold of every part of our lives.